Please be advised that some of the clips that you're going to hear in this episode contain language that we don't normally use on our show, so we just wanted you to be aware of that.
Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Stephen Thompson. I'm a writer and editor with NPR Music, and I am here in the studio with a bunch of people. Linda Holmes, you usually host this show.
That's right.
Hello, Linda. Welcome.
Hi, Stephen. I apologize for sitting in the host chair. It's force of habit.
I'm a little offended. Glenn Weldon, you write about books and comic books and other stuff for NPR. Hello.
Hi.
And we have a very special guest.
Oh, sure do.
Lauren Ober. Lauren, I'm going to let you tell us about what you do.
Is that because you don't know?
No, I do know. It's going to be my whole segue. I'm a host now.
Oh, I like this. Okay, I am the host of The Big Listen from WAMU and NPR, the broadcast about podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Now, podcasts. It's funny you should mention. Did you see what I just did?
It's a segue. How are you not the host every single episode?
It's such a great question. You know what it is?
It's no offense,
Linda.
It's the chair
I'm sitting in. That's the only thing keeping me from it. Okay, so given Lauren's job description, it's clear we are here to round up a bunch of our favorite podcasts. Now, the reason I am hosting is because I am a Philistine. I rarely listen to podcasts outside of the NPR family. I listen to your politics podcast and your Code Switch and All Songs Considered when I'm on it.
But only then.
Only then. But
take that, Bob Boylan.
Yeah. We thought we would get together and talk about some podcasts that are not brought to you by NPR.
That's right.
So we're going to take several trips around the table here. I'm going to start with Glenn Weldon. Glenn, recommend a podcast for me, please.
Well, I went into this thinking very nobly that I would not recommend any podcast that I've already mentioned.
Oh, wow.
But the thing with making recommendations like 50 times a year is that is just, so I narrowed it down to podcasts I've only mentioned once.
Very good.
Yeah.
I am not wired to experience these things you humans call emotions. For whatever reason, my joy... especially my joy circuit has been fried or was improperly installed. So I looked to other people. When Beyoncé's single Formation dropped, I knew where exactly to look. I looked to a podcast called The Read, which features Crystal and Kid Fury. They are black, they're queer, they're hilarious, they're very, very discursive. Each podcast may be an hour and a half. And they are egregiously, exultantly profane. So if you got some kids around, you might want to just earmuff them.
Not Philippe Chow. Red Lobster.
Yes. Not one of these.
Relatability.
Right.
That cheap
where
ass
you niggas go.
Restaurant that you niggas frequent every goddamn
where you
weekend.
Go.
Talking about we need more bread. Mad that they don't have the biscuits.
Right.
Every time you need an additional
right.
biscuit. She said, I too. This song was for us. This was a bow down for the community.
It was.
This was for everybody, bitch.
It was.
I slay. We slay, you slay, co-slay, co-pay.
They don't go through every verse of the song. It's not concordance. It's not dry like that. They just let it wash over them, and they have a hell of a great time. The episode is called Baymergency : Formation. But then later, when the full album of Lemonade drops, you can go back and do it all over again, only bigger.
Nice. All right, Lauren Ober.
Okay, so this is not quite an NPR podcast. It is a CBC podcast.
Okay.
Our sisters from another mister up north. This is a podcast called Sleepover, hosted by Sukhyun Lee, who is, she's a longtime host for CBC. And this show is what I call reality radio. So it is like reality television, but on the radio. So the conceit is that Sukhyun Lee invites three strangers to come to a hotel room with her and sleep over. And then each one of them gets to talk about an issue that they are having in their lives. Mm. And they'll talk about it with these total strangers. And the great thing about it is that it's an incredible mix of ages and demographics. So you have kids, you have older people, you have immigrants, you have the whole thing. And so the episode that I think you should listen to is an episode called Judy Wants Romance. And the title character in this, Judy, is a woman with a disability who has had a very hard time finding love in her life. And she gets counseling on this front from a young boy named Ty, who has quite possibly the most amazing understanding of love and romance of like any human on the planet. I don't care how old they are. And so he counsels her. And then he, at the end, he tries to like hook her up with his grandpa who lives in New Zealand over Skype. But it's really amazing. And it gets at, I don't know, it just like tears down some walls and it's really fun and delightful. I don't know. I love it. Sleepover.
Do you ever speak with other people who are disabled who are experiencing the same kind of difficulties in finding romance?
No. I don't know anybody that wants romance like I do. I didn't mean it like that.
That's good.
It's understandable.
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant nobody else wants romance that I know of where I've lived. They're all happy just to be in their own little room and their own torn up magazines and torn.
So Sleepover from CBC. Nice pick, Lauren. Thank you. Linda Holmes, what do you got?
Well, Glenn talked about how he was not going to pick any of his classics. And so I did bring an episode of Judge John Hodgman. And ooh. I have said a million times, this is my actual favorite podcast. Like, if I had to pick only one that I could get every week, I would pick this one.
That I believe I introduced you to.
You absolutely did.
Get that in there.
If you're not familiar with this podcast, what happens is John Hodgman, who's a writer and actor and comedy person, serves here as an internet judge. And so what happens is people, real people, they're all real stories, bring their disputes to him, and then they kind of present their sides, and he asks them questions, and then he rules. And they agree at the beginning that they're actually going to go by what he rules. And many of the disputes are kind of petty, and, you know, they'll be about something like, I can't sleep without a fan running, and my husband is kept awake by the fact that I need a fan running. And very often, he's able to find these really interesting underlying issues that have to do with people's insecurities or whatever. The episode that I brought is called In Moto Parentis, mm-hmm. and it involves a kid named Duncan who is 16, and he is determined to get a motorcycle, and he specifically wants a Kawasaki Ninja, and he really wants to convince his mother not only to let him have a motorcycle. He says, well, you bought a third car for me to drive. Let's sell the car and buy me a motorcycle.
Wow.
So he's trying to make this really doomed, let's face it, argument. His mother is concerned, obviously, about the safety. But one of the great things about it is that Hodgman acknowledges a fact about motorcycles that he talks about in this clip.
And I've ridden on one time, and that was when I was riding on the back of a Harley Davidson, hugging the middle-aged man who was our permanent French substitute in the French department at my high school, giving me a ride back from the radio station. It was not a cool situation, but even then, I felt cool. They're cool. Hey. Mom, I'm talking about cool right now. Shh.
Because the mother can't stop scoffing at various things that are happening during this case. And the other really delightful thing is that at the very end, for kind of no reason, this episode takes this weird turn because it turns out the kid also wants a vape pen.
Oh, boy.
So they get into a conversation, you know, it's so overdone, the conversations about vaping and whether people should do it or not. But this one's very funny. And I love this show. It's so warm and humane, and I truly, truly treasure it, and I enormously recommend this episode. Again, it's called In Moto Parentis.
Judge John Hodgman. Holmesy, I knew I could count on you
to bring
us the Hodgman love.
Mm-hmm,
all
mm-hmm.
right, Glenn, what else you got?
Well, I have talked about Hello from the Magic Tavern before, but the episode I'm going to pick out here is one that is hugely important because it does something great that I don't want to spoil. So let me just kind of set up Hello from the Magic Tavern. Arnie Niekamp is a Chicago improviser with his friends Adil Rafai and Matt Young. The idea of it is it's a fictional podcast. Arnie has been sucked into another sort of fantasy realm, very in Narnia, Middle Earth kind of place, but he just wants to sit in a tavern and talk to people. And so a lot of different people, including his two friends and a lot of different Chicago improvisers, come in, and every episode is just them discussing where they're from, what they're doing. And as this happens, world building occurs that they are remarkably rigorous about keeping consistent from episode to episode. So every episode, the world gets bigger and weirder, and there's contradictions that they kind of explain away. It's loaded with stupid, stupid puns, but it's hugely funny. It has been going on for almost a year, year and a half, and then this episode drops. This episode is called Dr. Ward. In this clip, you're just going to hear one of the characters played by Matt Young introduce himself.
And I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts,
I am Usidor, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical lights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiang Yag, the dwarves know me as Zonin Huxtanges, and I am known in the northeast as Gasmanius Maestar, and there may be other secret names you do not know yet.
I picked a clip from the very beginning of that episode because I don't want to say what happens in it or why this episode is different, because what I want you to do instead is to listen to the very first episode. That will give you a sense of whether or not you are in.
Right.
And if you are not in, do not bother, because this thing is, there's lots of in-jokes. And going into this episode cold, you would doom yourself, because it's referencing a lot of different things in a very surprising way. But if you're in it from the beginning, if you're in it for the long haul, when this episode occurred, I felt a kind of joy that I didn't think I could experience. Because it was just such a revelation, and funny, and smart. So that's Hello from the Magic Tavern. The episode I'm talking about is Dr. Ward, but you want to go all the way back to the very beginning.
Now, for Pop Culture Happy Hour completists, and in the interest of full disclosure.
Right. So yeah, when they were at the Now Hear This Festival, they invited us to come on and do a fake ad. They have fake ads in the show, so we came on, we did a bit, and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you, Glenn. Lauren, what else you got?
Okay, I have a podcast called YOY from the Panoply Network, hosted by Andrea Salenzi, which is sort of dating and romance in the technological age, but like not really. It is a mix of fact and fiction. There are scenes in there that are totally made up. There are stories that are absolutely true. It is very hard to tell the difference, which is a maddening part about this podcast to me, because I don't care for fiction podcasts at all. I mean, I love reading fiction and literature. I want my audio to be real, but I really love Andrea's approach. Also, I love that it started real DIY, like on a community radio station, and then she sort of catapulted herself into, you know, the big time. And the episode that I think really sort of hit me in the feels this season is called How Will I Know? And it is about her breakup. And it is a real story with real guts and real tears, but not like gross tears. Not like, we're not like, oh, get over it, you know? In this clip, she's describing her breakup in a way that I think all of us could probably relate.
I went into the next room to try to find a new apartment. I emailed a broker, seeking a dog-friendly room to cry in. Crossed out, room to cry in. Wrote in, studio. You came into the study to check on me and finally noticed your fly. You said, has it been this way the whole time? We were both too sad to laugh. A rash spread around my neck. The movers came. I hugged you in the morning, your body suddenly stiff like an ironing board. I still keep a list on my phone of all the stuff I want to tell you about.
That music is so crazy manipulative. Yeah. Yes. Seeing that.
It really, really is.
Like, put some peppy music under that, and like, I am not sad at all.
Right. It sounds like the beginning of like a romantic comedy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put the right music under it. If you put that like Natalie Cole, this will be.
Right. And a panning shot, like you just see his like his flies down.
Like, uh-oh. Like, ho, ho, ho. Glad we got rid of that guy so we can meet the new guy.
Wow. God. Well, thank you for the devastation.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the devastation indeed.
So that's called YOY?
YOY.
If that podcast was a song, it would be right up your alley. It would be.
It's true.
Are you into sad bastard music? Is that?
Sweets for the sweet. Sad bastard music for the sad bastard. All right, Holmesy, what do you got?
All right. So the next one that I want to talk about, speaking of classics, many of you have undoubtedly listened to 99% Invisible, which is a wonderful podcast from Radiotopia. It's like their kind of flagship, usually hosted by Roman Mars. The episode that I want you to listen to is reported by Ryan Kailath, who's a reporter out of New Orleans who works for WWNO and sometimes can be heard on NPR as well. And he did this story about how in the 1920s, there was a terrible flood on the Mississippi River. And as a result, the Army Corps of Engineers was authorized to study the Mississippi River. And what they wound up doing was building horizontally a 1/2000th scale model of the entire Mississippi River basin. And it's 200 acres. that it covers. And they used it to study and predict flooding, to test levees. They used it for all kinds of purposes. And it was very accurate. And it saved, prevented a lot of damage. It's such an interesting story. And then at the end, he talks about how it sort of fell out of use as they developed computer modeling. And so now it's essentially fallen into disrepair. It's all rusted. They have all these pump stations that are rusted. And so it's this really interesting episode that, first of all, is about this story that I had just never heard about, this 200-acre model of the Mississippi River. Then a kind of whole thing about science and how we understand the world and the modernizing of scientific processes and things like that. And I love, love, love that episode. It's called America's Last Top Model, and it's part of 99% Invisible.
Nice. Thank you, Holmesy.
You bet.
Hey, Glenn, could you recommend a podcast for me?
Sure. You know, the podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno doesn't need any more help. Need any more help from us. We've talked about it a lot. But I do think it's an actual question. How did its sophomore season do? The idea behind the podcast is that there are three people, Jamie, James, and Alice. Jamie's father has written a porno novel, but a very sort of English polite porno novel.
Belinda blinked.
That is not necessarily inept, but certainly inefficient pornography.
Yes.
Strangely clinical. Strangely.
I was just going to say an inaccurate.
Yeah, clinical but inaccurate.
Clinical, anatomical, that betrays a basic ignorance of anatomy in at a few crucial junctures. They sit around Jamie's kitchen table and they make fun of it while he reads it. They're all great.
Oh my God, they're
all great. And it's not cruel. His father loves it.
Right, yeah. Right, absolutely. So the first novel, the first season was what it was, bonkers, banana pants, and they had a lot of fun with it. The second season of this podcast is about the second novel that his dad wrote, and it's longer and more discursive, and it doesn't necessarily achieve the same laugh per minute ratio as the first season. So I'm starting to get concerned. In the episode Jim's Secret, all of that baseline twee pornography sort of takes a right turn into body horror, into medically repellent detail that it's one of those things that it happens. You have no idea why it's happening, but usually when I listen to this podcast, I you know, I laugh on the metro. Here, I was going, oh my God. But they have such a great time with that because it is mystifying. Mm-hmm. So the episode of My Dad Wrote a Porno called Jim's Secret.
Nice.
Nice. The opposite of nice.
Well, I am way behind on that show. I love it dearly. I look forward to getting to that body horror. Thanks, Glenn. Lauren, how about you?
No body horror in this one. Okay. Hopefully no dry heaving. Mm-hmm. This show is called Historically Black. It is from American Public Media and The Washington Post, a joint project with them. So earlier this year, the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture opened here in Washington, D.C. on the National Mall. And so these two media outlets decided that they would celebrate that in some way. And so one of the sort of hallmarks of the museum is that it culled a lot of its collection from regular people, right? It put this massive call out to get all of these objects from African-American families to tell this massive story of the African-American experience here. And so this podcast tries to do the same thing. And so it put a call out and it asked people to not send in their objects, but send in pictures or descriptions of these objects and stories behind them. And they picked a number of them to do stories about. And they have celebrity hosts. They have, you know, Keegan-Michael Key is one of the hosts, and Roxane Gay is one of the hosts. So they rotate. But there's this particular episode that really got me called Tracking Down a Slave's Bill of Sale. And in it, there's this young man who has been given this photocopy of a bill of sale of a great, great, great grandfather. And it's something that everyone in the family has. Like, they have this photocopy. But the actual bill of sale, which none of them have seen, is in some courthouse somewhere in Tennessee. And so the part of the episode that's so lovely is they go to the courthouse and get to actually see it for themselves. And in this clip, his great, great granddaughter reflects on seeing that bill of sale.
It just makes me wonder what it was like for him, though. But I'm sure they were used to it because they'd been moved around and sold. So it probably became a part of their life.
But it's so transient, though, to not be able to plan for your future or to make and set goals because you never know where you're going to be next.
Brought so many sad ones.
No, but it isn't, because it's very uplifting because it provides this level of understanding for the family. You know, it's for something that had been very cloudy before.
Right. Wow. So that's so historically black.
Historically black.
Excellent. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah.
Linda, how about you?
So much of the podcast world is made up of a couple of dudes sitting around talking. And there's only so much of my podcast listening that I prefer to consist of a couple of dudes sitting around talking. But one that I discovered this year that is absolutely in that category, but that I love dearly and make time for, is called The Pozcast.
Yes.
And The Pozcast is hosted by Joe Poznanski and Michael Schur. And Michael Schur, who is the one of the producers of Parks and Recreation and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and now The Good Place, comes on and they hold drafts, which are like fantasy sports drafts, except they draft very weird things. Like there's one where they draft letters of the alphabet. So you have to just decide which is the best letter of the alphabet. And then you go from there and each person picks. And in this episode, the one I picked is the one they did for Olympic sports. And yes. So these are things that aren't in the Olympics, but should be in the Olympics. And in this clip, Poznanski talks about why surfing should be an Olympic sport.
Every other winter Olympic sport is just surfing on snow.
It's a really good point.
They just stole it, and they got to be in the Olympics, and all those guys are doing all that stuff, and it's cool, and it's fun to watch, but it's just surfing. That's all it is.
And eventually they get to things like Papa Shot basketball, yep, which is the kind of like arcade basketball. Uh-huh. I also like to make sure that I remember to include a podcast that doesn't sound very good.
Right.
This podcast, Poznanski always sounds fine. Schur comes in sounding like Skype in a trash can, which is fine. You can hear it. But, you know, I like to make sure that not everything I listen to sounds like it was made in an expensive studio. And this doesn't. But I love these episodes. They're all kinds of weird. They do like American things or parts of a sports stadium, and they just draft stuff. It's totally bonkers, but I really love it. The Pozcast, it's called. Poscast.
Yes, and you have gotten me into that show.
Yes.
I love that one as well. And yes, the word discursive has come up a few times.
For sure.
They can get discursive.
Very much.
But that's a favorite of mine as well. Thank you, Linda.
You bet.
Glenn.
Well, I brought a couple of white guys sitting around talking, as a matter of fact. The comedians Graham Clark and Dave Shumka have a podcast called Stop Podcasting Yourself. I love it. It's one of the first things I listen to every week. They also have this other podcast, which is a thing that I love. It's a limited project. They're only going to do 12 episodes. It's called Our Debut Album. These two comedians lock themselves in a room for an hour and try to write a hit song. Not a comedy song, not a Flight of the Conchords, you know, a Garfunkel and Oates kind of song, but a sincere song. They are challenging themselves to risk something, to be vulnerable. And their rule, they have several rules. One of the rules is wean or more serious. That's kind of the scale that they're on. Mm-hmm. So what I love hearing, I know nothing about music, so I love hearing them try out rhymes, figure out what the song's about, and then they go and record it. And some of the rules are that they give themselves exactly an hour. They can brainstorm in the beginning. They can make slight adjustments between the writing and the recording. But during the process of them going back and forth, there's all kind of switchbacks, and it's a lot of fun. Here's a clip.
Well, no, I think he tears around on a seahorse, right? That would be the mode of transportation in Atlanta.
Yeah. Now, Graham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm worried,
yeah,
that's bad.
Okay.
See, that's what I love about it. Now, the songs, when they come out, you might know this, Stephen, they kind of have a future Bible hero sound to them, okay, kind of like sort of lo-fi, mm-hmm, in many cases, but and they're not musicians. They are clearly comedians who can, mm-hmm, some of whom can play music and some of whom, mm-hmm, don't. So what you get is this very lo-fi but friendly and funny show. They're only going to do 12 songs. They've just hit their eighth song, and you can buy the album if that should strike you. So that's Our Debut Album, and the episode to start with is, I think, the first one.
So how often does that come out?
It comes out once a month.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Glenn. Lauren.
Okay. This isn't sad. Mm-hmm. So hold on to your hats.
Remains to be seen.
Well, that's true. Okay. The Huffington Post has a podcast called Candidate Confessional. It features all kinds of political candidates who have failed, from Newt Gingrich to Sandra Fluck to like random people in random places. But they get really big guests too to come on and say, this is what the experience of the campaign trail was like for me. And my favorite episode of that featured Michelle Bachmann, who, if you remember, Michelle Bachmann ran for the Republican presidential ticket in 2012. Obviously, she did not win, but she tried. She tried real hard. And she got slaughtered by everyone, by the press, by just fellow Republicans. And it was a nightmare for her. But what I learned is like what it takes to be a woman on the campaign trail is like way more than what any man has to deal with, because the men can get away with wearing the same navy suit for 3 weeks in a row. Right. No one's going to know. Donald Trump has been doing that for an entire year. Same red tie, same suit, right? But when you're a woman on the campaign trail, you can't do that. And she would have to wake up like 2 hours before, you know, before anybody else to get ready so that she would just look normal, you know, like not even like dolled up, just like normal. And people had sort of a field day with her, but I ended up having a lot of respect for her after I listened to that episode. And this clip is her talking about this infamous Newsweek cover where they totally sandbagged her, where the photographer took major liberties and Michelle Bachmann paid the price.
It was very uncomfortable because I had to kind of squat down on this ladder. And I said, I don't even know why we're doing this. You've got your shots. And he said, well, I have to have the test shot. So then the photographer hit a strobe light and snapped with the strobe light so that my eyes flared open as they would in response to a huge, bright strobe light. And I said, what was that about? He said, it's just a test shot. Don't worry. It's, you know, it's nothing. I said, you're not going to use that, are you? And he said, oh, no. This is just something I have to give to my editor. Well, then, as it turned out, none of these lovely shots were used. The only thing they did is the one where I look like the Bride of Frankenstein with my eyes wide open.
And like, it might seem like, who cares? Like, you look bad in a photo. Mm-hmm. But actually, it was a very aggressive move on Newsweek's part to...
Yeah, I remember that cover.
Yeah, right. And I think a lot of people do, regardless of whether or not you follow politics, because it was so stark in comparison to the way that other candidates were being portrayed.
Yeah.
So, Candidate Confessional. That sounds great.
It's really good. Out.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, Linda, what do you got?
All right. Well, my my last one that I have is a very easy one. I could sit here and tell you to listen to another round, but you already listened to another round. Everybody knows about another round. But I love it so much that what I do want to recommend to you is an episode of Long Form, which is the podcast where they talk to journalists and other people who kind of do reporting or writing about their work. And there's an episode of Long Form where they talk to Heaven Agatu and Tracy Clayton, who are, of course, the hosts of Another Round, about the work that they do at BuzzFeed. And there are so many good things in there. One of the things I really like is that they talk to just Tracy and just Heaven, and then they talk to them together. I do have a little clip of the two of them talking about their listeners at BuzzFeed and some of the kind of reactions that they get.
BuzzFeed's readers are white, and they're also internet-y people. And that lends to a lot of trolly comments, you know, people who will just read your headline and see this about race and be like, if this had been written about Black people, it would be so racist. And we would not be able to do that. You know what I mean?
Whereas with the podcast, you can be like, even if you don't agree with me, you can like still get the spirit of what I'm saying. You can get the jokes better.
Yeah, like intonations matter. And like just being able to hear how somebody is saying something to you can like really help inform and like give context and stuff like that.
So again, if you like Another Round, if for some reason you haven't heard Another Round, I still would recommend this episode of Long Form, it's called, which features Heaven Agatu and Tracy Clayton.
Nice. Thank you, Holmesy. Okay, so since Lauren actually hosts a podcast about podcasts, we're going to give you an extra pick. You get a bonus.
Ooh.
So give us one more before we're done.
It's going to be good. Okay. I cannot get enough of the podcast Making Oprah from WBEZ in Chicago. It is a three-part documentary podcast. Each episode's like an hour and change. And it is all about the Oprah Winfrey Show, which began 30 years ago this year. I'm obsessed with Oprah right now. And I never even watched the show, right? But I like love this woman so deeply now. But beyond that, just everything about it was so slick. They talked to everybody. They talked to Oprah. I mean, Oprah sat down and gave them like 3 hours of her time, which is amazing because like she's got a lot to do. But one of the best parts of it is when they go in deep detail about the time that Oprah gave away 276 cars yes. uh-huh. to her audience. And in this clip, Oprah is talking about why they needed to put bigger bows on the cars.
First of all, I didn't leave the building until like 10:30, 11, because I remember walking through, seeing them doing the bows for the cars. And the bows were too small, in my opinion. So I said, this bow is too small. They were like, well, we've already done however many bows. I go, you got to redo the bows because the bow should cover the whole hood of the car. It should not be like a little bow. You want the bow to wrap around the body of the car and you want the bow to cover the whole hood of the car so that it makes an impression because so much of a gift is about how it's packaged.
She's not wrong.
She's totally right. She's
which actually right. made me think deeply about how I have been falling behind on my wrap jobs and presents.
Yeah.
Like newspaper, like covering your presents in newsprint ain't gonna cut it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll also add that music is what they needed on YOY.
I was gonna say the same thing. I was gonna say that is whimsical music. That is how you create a totally different tone. We should have a score.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Lauren Ober.
Oh, my pleasure.
This has been, I would say, a supersized small batch. I'm not even sure if we can call it a small batch.
It's a batch.
But full episodes, even longer episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday morning at npr.org/podcasts through NPR One or wherever else you get your podcasts. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.